Good evening. Welcome to the Reedley City Council meeting of Tuesday, April the 9th, 2013. I call this meeting to order. We'll have the invocation by Dale Freeman, chaplain for the Reedley Police Department, and our pledge will be by Councilman Fast. Would you please stand? Our Councilmember Fast.
Let's bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, our prayer is one that we need to make of praise and thanksgiving for the wisdom and knowledge that you've imparted to us. Lord, we seek your direction and your guidance in all that is about to take place in this chamber tonight. And Lord, may we know that every conversation, every decision that's made here will bring one of unity and satisfaction between the council members and the residents and all concerned. As we think of our city, Lord, and our state and our country, Lord, be with the law enforcement, be with our leaders in the state and our servicemen and women that are protecting our country, and the leaders of our country, Lord, keep us safe from outside forces that want to come in and do us harm. In all things, Lord, help us to be eternally grateful and receive your blessings and your grace and mercy. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
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 Would you join our council in the flag salute, please?
Salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Could I have the roll call, please?
Councilmember Betancourt?
Here.
Councilmember Fast?
Here.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Here.
Councilmember Salino?
Here.
Mayor Beck?
Here. Presentations tonight. Number one on the item, our list is presentation by the City of Dinuba to the City of Reedley, recognizing the city's 100 years of incorporation. Councilmember Smith and Assistant City Manager Jane Anderson.
Good evening, Mayor, Council, staff, audience. I'm Mike Smith. I'm currently serving as a City Council member in Dinuba, and with me I have, it's either Jan or Jane, our Assistant City Manager, who also I think is worth mentioning is, I don't know what you guys call yourselves over here, Reedleyite or Reedleyan, or yeah, just a good example of how we work well with you folks. But what we wanted to do was recognize and present you with a plaque recognizing your centennial, and then also wish you another 100 years of success and prosperity. So it's a good milestone to have hit. And also, I think it's worth mentioning, I feel that the two communities work really well together. I'm a longtime Dinuba resident, graduated Dinuba High in 76. And even way back then, I know there was places I wasn't allowed to go, Arosi, Orange Cove. but Reedley was always friendly. And I think there's things that Reedley does well that we don't, and I think there's things we do well that possibly you don't, and I think when you put the two together, it just makes a great extended community. So we appreciate that relationship. And on that note, years ago, when I was first on council, we used to have joint meetings with you folks. I don't remember if it was quarterly or semi, but we'd like to initiate that conversation once again, because we are close neighbors and share probably common issues and also share some common assets. So we'd ask you to consider maybe a future meeting of your council or our council, just to brainstorm. Sir?
Once a year.
Once a year?
I think so, yeah.
Was it? We need to get back on track with that. And
maybe our city manager can be in contact with Dinuba, and we'll see what we can
have your city manager call our city manager, and you and I will do lunch. Yeah. And then we appreciate the fact that the mayor came over and raced. I missed that. I got called out of town on business.
That was fixed, you know it.
I can say it here because I'm not in my city. Our mayor cheated. I'm sure she did. I know her. She cheated. So, but no, I heard it was a good time. We appreciate that. And anything you want to add to that, Jane?
It was a great race, and I was there watching. So, no, we just look forward to a joint meeting again, and it's always a good time of our two communities coming together and planning together, and we've always worked very well together. In fact, your police chief was just with us a couple weeks ago helping us with an oral board as we select a new police chief. And so we've always enjoyed working together with this community.
So again, Mayor, congratulations, and we thank you.
You're on the correct
side of
that panel, though, right?
Which side? No comment. No. Yeah.
Thank you, Mike.
He did want me to put in for a raise for him. No.
The exponent would like a picture.
Oh, you had. I didn't know you had media in here.
Oh, yeah.
I think I've learned that lesson by now. Not to be rude, we have a meeting ourselves that's going on right now, so we're going to head out.
Take care, and tell Jenna I said hi.
Thank you.
Thank you, James.
If I can just say that what those meetings that we had in the past was very important, because our sphere of influence boundaries were getting very close, and we agreed to put a buffer zone between Reedley and Dynama.
The two things that come to mind is a buffer zone, and then we were having some conversation about like a
trail
from here to the golf course.
On Traver Creek.
And then since those meetings, we have our folks being shuttled to Reedley College through the transit, which is a joint venture with the Fresno County. A lot of good things, I think, were starting to come out of those meetings. I don't know why they...
Right. And I remember Dinah was saying that they would pick up the cost of the trail, so...
Yeah. Yeah. I'm getting old. I don't remember that. So. You folks have a good meeting. Thank you.
Good night, folks. Thank you, guys. Good night.
So thank
you.
Good night.
Thanks, Ray. Item number two is presentation of a proclamation to the Full Gospel Tabernacle for its 100 years in anniversary. And I would like to read the proclamation for you. It says, whereas dedicated evangelists from the Los Angeles Azusa Street Revival in 1908 made their way to Reedley to passionately preach and plant a church to proclaim the Pentecostal message, and whereas the church formally chartered as Full Gospel Tabernacle of the Assemblies of God has been part of the tapestry of Reedley since both began in 1913, and whereas their members in Jesus' name have faithfully served this community and followed the call to serve across this nation and in foreign lands to proclaim the good news, and whereas Full Gospel Tabernacle has enthusiastically came alongside community organizations and municipal government to accomplish goals common to all, and has sought to bring peace and unity to the greater community. And whereas Full Gospel Tabernacle's commitment to the community has been felt for a century through their sincere support and outreach, and has truly enriched us all with its presence and its great legacy. And whereas today, Full Gospel Tabernacle remains a warm and welcoming house of worship and continues to serve as bedrock in the community in the lives of many Reedley citizens. Now therefore, I, Robert O. Beck, Mayor of the City of Reedley, and the Reedley City Council hereby proclaim the deserving gratitude of all Reedley citizens, and recognize and thank Full Gospel Tabernacle for their 100 years of loving service and commitment to the citizens of Reedley. Dated April 9th,
2013. Mayor, please. Pastor Hobbs?
Yes.
Could you please join me?
Sure. Pastor Hobbs, I'd like to present this proclamation to you from the City of Reedley.
That's great. Thank you, Mayor.
You bet.
Thank
you very much. And I will see you Sunday.
Awesome. We are honored. Thank you, everyone, for having us this evening. Thank you so much, everyone on staff and throughout the city. And we just hope and pray to continue an incredible relationship, and we won't pick up the trail.
Yeah.
Another trail, we might.
That's right.
Thank you, Pastor. So much. Bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on. Before we go to public comment, there has been a request to table item number 11. And I believe in order to do that, we need to take a motion or a vote from the council.
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay, call for the question.
Hold on, just real quick for clarification. The motion was to table the item to the next meeting?
Yes.
Okay.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mayor Beck?
Yes. Okay, moving on, public comment. Public comment provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the city council on items of interest to the public within the council's jurisdiction and which are not already on the agenda this evening. It is the policy of the council not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the city manager's office. Speakers should limit their comments to no more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on the agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the council as each item is brought up for discussion. Is there any public comment? No public comment. Moving on to the consent agenda. The consent agenda items are considered routine in nature and voted upon as one item. Under a consent agenda category, a recommended course of action for each item is made. Any council member may remove any item from the consent agenda in order to discuss and or change a recommended course of action, and the council can approve the remainder of the consent agenda. A council member's vote in favor of the consent agenda is considered and recorded as a separate affirmative vote in favor of each action listed. Motions in favor of the consent agenda are deemed to include a motion to waive the full reading of any ordinance on the consent agenda. For adoption of ordinance, only those that have received a unanimous vote upon introduction are considered consent items. Would any council member like to remove a consent item?
I'd like to remove item number 5.
Item number 5.
I'd like to do number 5 and number 6 and number 9.
Number 6 and number 9. Okay. Anyone from the public like to remove an item? Okay, moving on.
Move to approve the remainder of the count of the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay, call for the question.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Mayor Beck?
Yes. Item number 5, consider and approve the deobligation of previously awarded federal funds for the I Street Traffic Signal Synchronization Project and allocate this funding to the other City of Reedley eligible projects. Mr. Martinez.
Yes, good evening, Mayor and rest of City Council members. Noe Martinez, City Engineer. And I will address any questions there may be on this item tonight.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that we had this clarified because I didn't catch it when I first read this item, that this is not to prevent a traffic signal from being placed there, but this was planned to be a synchronization project to synchronize multiple lights, and there are not multiple lights there, so there's no lights to synchronize.
That is correct. The report did outline or explain that the fact that we don't have all the intersections mm-hmm. signalized and therefore we can't implement that system at this time.
Okay, that was my only comment.
Okay, my concern was that funding, the funding of the sidewalks on page 2 of 2, the remaining money would be used for Reed Avenue reconstruction project or if allocated to the Reed Avenue project. And also it said for the trail extension project, the funding would be used to supplement the funding already in place to extend the Parkway Trail from Button Willow to Huntsman's to the Sports Park ultimately. My concern is that we can't even take care of the rails to trails that we have right now. And it's not the city's, it's not the city employees. They're doing whatever they can. So just the thought of extending it when we can't even take care of what we have right now. And I know at the beginning, when they started this, it was supposed to be people that volunteered that were all to take care of this. If I'm right, Russ, that had volunteered to take care of the rails to trails, and that hasn't happened. And so I just even thinking about extending it right now, or even in the future right now, there's so many other things that need to be done in the city. So that was my concern.
Russ, can you elaborate on that and ask us how many groups have volunteered to this point that you know of, maybe?
When the trail was originally built, it was supposed to be volunteer maintained. As you know, after 2 or 3 years, that phased away, and we no longer have volunteers taking care of it, you know, all year round like we did. In the past, it was adopt a section, you know. The good news is we do have Emmanuel Schools and some other agencies that do step up to the plate and help us with maintenance occasionally. And we also have a business that I won't mention at this point that has last week stepped up and is willing to adopt a section of the trail. So I'm hoping that if they do that, this will, you know, be the what we need to spearhead the adoption program back into place, which would really be a benefit for us.
Could we possibly utilize the paper to maybe advertise and see if, just kind of remind people out in public that this is what the Rails to Trails was all about for their use, but we need help, and if there's any organization there. Is there any liability concerns? Maybe there is that a possibility that they won't step forward?
We do have volunteer sheets that they're indemnity, you know, releases for the city that we have the volunteers sign, very easy sheet to sign, and we welcome any volunteers. I know several months ago we did do a story in the paper about the Rail to Trail and how, you know, originally it was maintained by volunteers. The results of that story were only two individuals that called me. It's a little depressing, but maybe with the summer months coming, and if people, as the weather changes and people utilize the trail, they'll see how desperately we need their help with this.
Okay.
So if I could just chime in and make sure that staff has been very clear, in case it's not clear in the staff report, these particular funds are not yet being allocated. So this staff report doesn't allocate those funds to the trailway project. So I just want to make sure that council doesn't think we're doing that as part of this. This simply de-obligates the synchronization project. If we don't de-obligate it, we will simply lose those funds. So I just want to make sure that,
you know, Nicole, and in addition to that, we are, with this approval, allocating some of those funds to our Manning sidewalk project, so that the approval for this item tonight will allocate those funds for the Manning sidewalk projects, but the rest will be unencumbered for now until the time being.
And I also, I had number 9 too, that I had a question, and that kind of ties in with that too, because has to do with the Button Willow Ditch project and having surplus funds for that too. Also real concerned because on Button Willow, you are going to fix Early, that street on between Early and Duff, that part of Button Willow will be hopefully taken care of eventually.
That's correct.
And that to me, that's a safety issue. And then the other one that I have really concerns about is Myra, the Button Willow between Myra and North Avenue, that also does not have sidewalk, and that also is a safety issue as far as I'm concerned, because we have a lot of the people, the families in that part of the community, they walk and they do their shopping and they walk and they go through there and in the winter that gets muddy, and there's a lot of traffic on Button Willow, and in some parts where the street, it just falls there. So it's really it's safety issue that I'm concerned about, because they do go shop, they go to Rite Aid, they go to Save Mart and then Dollar Tree now. And the other day there was a gentleman in a bicycle with his bags trying to, you know, on that street. And I really feel that the ditch on Button Willow is There used to be a ditch there also, which was another safety issue. They finally covered the ditch, which makes it a little bit safer. But to finish Button Willow off nice with sidewalk, so it makes it safe for people to walk at least on one side of Button Willow, would be really, really nice. That ditch that we're going to fill, there's not very many people that walk over there. And if there's surplus money, I don't know, because it's a special project or what, that the money couldn't be used for that. But it's a real concern that I've had for a long time. And then now I see that we have extra money, and it concerns Button Willow. So.
Yes, two things here. Just to address your question regarding the surplus funds, we are allocating, as part of this approval, those surplus funds to other projects that we have in the works, which include the bridge project, Frankwood, and I believe the Manning sidewalks.
You know, Council, I would be much more comfortable if we would handle these as two separate items or two separate.
Yeah,
items.
I was going to say.
Oh, we're, yeah, no, so. But I'm just saying they were tied together because we have all this extra money. Is what I'm saying. So.
The total.
Yeah, no, that's I can understand that. Yes, but. But that was my concern because they both had surplus money.
Well, we're dealing with item number five right now. Let's go ahead and get number five. Is there any further comment on number five?
Yeah. If I understood you correctly, City Manager, that then this money was not going to be tied in with the rail-to-trail development.
Absolutely correct. $90,000 of the money we're talking about deobligating will go to the Manning Sidewalks project. The other $170,000, roughly, the staff will analyze the best use of that for capital projects we have underway. As you know, there are a couple projects that we're deficit funding right now, so it's possible we can put that towards the deficit-funded projects. We'll bring that back to Council for approval.
I guess my thoughts with the rail to trail, the people that I see utilizing that, especially like every once in a while when I go to Starbucks on Saturday, that's the only time my wife will allow me to go because it's too expensive. But you see a lot of folks, you know, using it, and I've heard a lot of positive remarks, and I know, and I have a report on it later. I don't want to talk about it right now, but I just think that we can't afford to say like, well, we don't want to expand, or we don't want to enhance, or we don't want to improve because we're having a difficult time maintaining it. And I know we have shortage of staff, Russ, but we just have to re-energize ourselves and like to say, rethink this and see how we can get some other folks tied in, such as what you mentioned. I don't know if we even have the college, you know, the forestry, you know, department there that would maybe they've had some interest or the high, I don't know, but I just think that it's not, people might consider like, well, it's kind of like an eyesore because they don't maintain it, but it adds character to this community. There's a lot of folks that are aware of it, and I know that we probably perhaps the money could have been used a little, you know, different and so forth, but I think it's good for a lot of folks. A lot of our senior citizens use those pathways, a lot of bicycles that'll use it. And also, you know, some of the kids, as they're mobilizing from one side of the community to the other, instead of coming through the main arteries, you know, they'll take that. So I would want the city to kind of rethink that. And I'm pretty sure Russ has some good ideas, and I'm going to talk a little later on it because I got somebody else that volunteered, so. But anyway, those are my thoughts, Mayor.
Okay. Any comment? Yes, Dale, go ahead.
Dale Melville, 16413 East Danube Avenue. I know it's not part of the motion, but since the Rails to Trails Reedley Parkway was brought up, I wanted to at least spend a minute and at a minimum, let the council know that that was funded, I think probably over 90% with grant funds. It was special funds that came in for that project that the city and people on the committee were active soliciting for that work. Also, we've raised, it's well over $60,000, might be close to $60,000, $70,000 from the community donors, from trees and plaques. And And we still have some funds in that. I wasn't prepared for the subject tonight, but we have probably around $2,000 or $3,000 in there. And I used to, and maybe still am, because there's not much of a committee left yet to chair that since the late 90s. And I'm more than willing to understand now the situation. I'd probably hadn't been paying that much attention to it, other than my role is getting new plaques in and tree donations and things like that, more on bringing money in. But we've typically been able to get people to volunteer, and I'll volunteer myself to work with Russ and see if we can do to help get more people engaged in this, because I agree with Councilman Rodriguez that it's a real asset to this community. And I would much rather, there's the long-term goal is to really expand a loop all the way around the city with a combination of bike paths and or trails. I think the city does have a master plan on that, and I think that's the direction we want to be going.
When you pursued that grant, when you wrote that grant, so it was specifically for that?
Right, yeah, yep. There was actually several grants. There was probably four or five grants. The city was the applicant on them, and some of them came through, some of them came through forestry. A lot of it came through the Air Board with credits for not using vehicles and things like that. But there's, I do have a presentation that I've presented, and actually it's on, I'm not sure if it's on the website now or not, but that shows the different grant funds, the level of funding, and everything else that went into it, so.
But there's a second phase to it, if I understand you correctly, like for it to kind of loop completely.
Well, the original phase, we've completed that. It was from the river to Button Willow, and that has been completed. But I know when Bruce Weber was here, he had, and through the city, they'd adopted a master, kind of as a bike plan that kind of loops the city and tries to tie some of the major features, the college, several of the schools, the sports park, and so that people can get to those community facilities rather easily, so. Okay.
Thank you.
I'll volunteer my time to help Russ and get some more people out here.
Thank you, Dale.
Thank you.
Good evening, Council and City Manager Dawn Barcellas, 1043 G Street. Just wanted to give you a heads up. This was a topic this morning in the steering committee meeting, and the topic came up because other people have noticed that it's not being well kept. Our chairperson right now is Wes Isaac, and he is starting to do a let's get other people to kind of compete one against another. Landscapers. He has 7 in mind, and so that's in the works, just to let you know. And I'm assuming he's going to call you, Russ, but that's Wes that's doing that. I just want you to know we're thinking about it because we want it to look pretty.
Thank you, Don. Thank you. Okay, any further comment?
I'd like to make a motion to approve.
You have a motion. You have a second?
Second.
Okay, call for the question.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Councilmember Cellino?
Yes.
Mayor Beck?
Yes. That was item number 5. Yeah. Moving on to item number 6, authorize city manager to execute the annual agreement on behalf of the City of Reedley between the City of Reedley and the Fresno Housing Authority for criminal activity reporting services provided by the police department.
I was just curious to find out, do you give them the same thing like this, or do you give them something different?
No, we give them something different. It's much more specific to their location only, to 629 East Springfield.
Could I have that?
Absolutely.
Kind of report? Because that's my, that's my area, my neighborhood. And I was just curious to see if it was more detailed.
No, it's not going to be any more detailed than what you have there.
Oh, I was just curious to see if it was more.
This one has more.
Uh-huh. Yes. Okay. That's all. I was just curious to see what you did with them.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further questions? Any public?
Move item number 6.
Any public comment? Okay. We have a motion.
A second.
Okay. Call for the question.
Councilmember Cellino?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mayor Beck?
Yes. Moving on to item number 9. Adopt resolution number 2013-35 awarding the 2012-13 adopted budget, increasing the Button Little Ditch project budget appropriation to the federal share and reducing the Measure C local match by same amount and appropriating the surplus Measure C funding to other various projects. Mr. Martinez.
Yes, so may I continue my discussion on this item to council members? This item is the approval to basically reallocate some of the surplus Measure C funds that we're going to have on this project as a result of a new federal grant that we received recently on this project. And the projects that we're proposing to receive those surplus Measure C funds are the Frankwood, Manning Bridge, and Manning Sidewalks, which are all projects that are currently in the works, ready to go out to construction, and these funds are much needed there. Now, just to touch a little bit on what Ms. Betancourt was talking about as far as Frankwood and some of the improvements that we are doing there. At this point, we do have a CDBG grant that we're going to be using to fund the improvements along Button Willow and Early Avenue. That project right now is on schedule to be started and completed next year, 2014. So we'll be working on that. Then on the other area that was mentioned, if it were the council's wish, we could look into making that project looking for funds in that project if it's your desired.
I would really like to see, because it is a safety issue. And I know there's a lot of streets in Reedley that I could mention that they're, that I feel that need work because of safety issues. But that would sure clean up Button Willow and give them sidewalk at least on one side of the road street. So
what our staff talked about it this morning, Ms. Betancourt took me on a driving tour yesterday, which was wonderful, pointing out some areas, and that was one area that she did point out. Our staff talked about it this morning in our development review meeting, and we're going to look into those particular parcels. We believe there may be a condition of development on those parcels, and that's why that hasn't been done, as those parcels have not been developed. It doesn't mean we can't step in and do something, though. But we need to go back through to locate property owners and talk through our options on those different parcels. But certainly did appear to me that if we're doing something on Button Willow and Early and then have this void, one block void, it's
be nice to clean it up and
defeats the purpose of Button Willow Early, right?
Now, if I may share a little bit more than what I found out, City Manager, it turns out that when those particular parcels were approved for development that was subsequently never finished, we did acquire the right-of-way along Button Willow, so that right-of-way is on hand for the city to be able to provide improvements along there. The only thing that is an obstacle right now, which it could easily be addressed, is the fact that we have utility poles on the way that we could make the utility companies relocate as part of their franchise agreement obligation. So it's a doable project. That's what I wanted to relay.
I would like to do one thing, though. I'd like to thank Mr. Martinez for going out and finding about 30% more money for that project. That was solely underfunded at the time, and you found quite a bit more money for that, which alleviated those Measure C funds that could be put back over to the bridge and other projects. So thank you, Noe, for finding that extra money. Yeah. Any other questions?
Yeah. Well, I concur with you. I think that, and I talked to our manager about that, but on paper it just seems like, you know, you move money around and so forth, but I think it takes strenuous effort and a focus, and also probably just as important coupled with that is the relationship that our staff has with these entities. If you don't have a good relationship, sometimes it's just a little bit more difficult for things to gel, and maybe you don't get these reductions, these type of reductions. So I agree with Mayor Beck that, you know, your hard work, you know, the city's reaping some benefits from that, so we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Any further comment from the council? Any comment from the public?
Move to approve.
Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Fast.
Yes.
Councilmember Salino.
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt.
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez.
Yes.
Mayor Beck.
Yes. Item number 11 was tabled, so we'll move to item number 12. Considering the following items, A and B, for the Frankwood Reconstruction Federal Aid Project number STPCML-5216044. Adopt resolution number 20-031, awarding a construction contract to Donberry Construction, Inc. And item B, adopt resolution number 2013-032, amending the 2012-13 adopted budget, consolidating the various RSTP federal share and Measure C local match accounts appropriated for the project, providing new appropriation from water DIF fund balance, and increasing appropriations to the Proposition 1B fund account from fund balance. Mr. Martinez.
Thank you, Mayor. First of all, I wanted to apologize for all the different acronyms that have been used there. If there's any questions as to what they mean, please feel free to ask. With that, staff recommends tonight that the City Council adopt resolution number 2013-031, awarding a construction contract for the Frankwood Reconstruction Project to the lowest responsible bidder, Dunbury Construction, in the amount of $2,570,755, and also to adopt resolution number 2013-032, amending the 2012-2013 adopted budget, consolidating project accounts, and providing additional funds from the water DIF funds, which stand for development impact fees, DIFs, and Proposition 1B grant. This approval would also authorize city manager to execute the agreement, construction agreement, subject to the submittal of the necessary bonds, insurance certificates, and other necessary documents as required by the specifications for this project, and would authorize the necessary budget amendments to fully fund this project. Staff began advertising this project on February 15, 2013, for a period of approximately 5 weeks. Addendums were issued to address the 10-day wait check for prevailing wages compliance and to answer other miscellaneous bidders' questions. Staff opened bids from 11 contractors on March 22, 2013, and read aloud. The bid prices range from $2,570,755 to $3,254,821 and change, as compared to the engineer's estimate of $2,698,590. The favorable bid prices for the from this bid resulted in approximately $130,000 in savings, or 5% below the estimate. City staff has reviewed and determined that the low bidder's proposal is both responsive and responsible per the construction documents for this project. Henceforth, we recommend that the City Council award a construction contract to Dunbury Construction for the amount of $2,570,755. Now, we anticipate this project commencing in late April, which is this month, with a construction period of approximately 90 working days, or approximately 4 months. City staff will work with the contractor to plan this work efficiently and keep the public, including schools, churches, and residents, safe at all times, and would readily access in and around the construction zone as required. This project construction cost would be funded from various federal and state grants, including CMAQ, which stands for Congestion Mitigation and Air Quality, RSCP, which stands for Regional Surface Transportation Program, Safe Route to School, and Proposition 1B funds. The local match Funding sources would include the Measure C and the Water Development Impact Funds. Now, it is estimated that the construction cost for Frankwood, including the construction contract plus contingencies and construction engineering expenses, shall not exceed $2,891,894, with a federal slash state share amount of approximately $2.3 million and a local match of approximately $600,000. Now, to fully fund this project, city staff recommends encumbering an additional $35,000 in Prop 1B funds, $162,000 from the water holding DIFT account, and $50,000 from the water distribution DIFT account. City staff is also recommending that approximately $120,000 of surplus Measure C funds from the Buttonwillow Ditch project be appropriated to this project as part of a separate council approval, which already happened earlier tonight. With this, I will entertain any questions you may have with this item.
There are some implications where we'll be in a deficit position with some of these accounts, some of these monies, but that will shake out when we get whatever award or whatever monies are expected down the road.
Your question relates to our next project.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I'm sorry. I thought that was part of it. I'm sorry.
To the Manning Sidewalks project. Pardon? But you're correct. Yeah, and we'll get to that when we get to the Manning Sidewalks project.
I have two things. If, as you get older, your eyesight doesn't improve, so if you could just enlarge these figures just a little bit. But it's always interesting when we get these bids and you go through them item, line by line, mm-hmm. and these itemized, and the difference in the estimate that the engineer gives and then the estimate that the contractor gives. For instance, like the street lighting, your estimate was $186,000, and theirs is $310,000. And you always wonder, gee, what is it, the difference?
It's not different.
So it's and that's item number 22 in the first page. Mm-hmm. Well, that's always curious, is why the big difference in some of these items?
Yes, unfortunately, the contracts, they have their own motivation as to how they want to price the project. They have their own plans on how they want to complete it. So we really don't have much control as to how they bid each specific item. We do have control over the total amount, which we're typically around the same price for whatever reason. So,
when there's that much though of a difference of disparity, is that going to trigger or constitute like when they come back to you and say we want to change order?
Not specifically to what Mr. Solano just brought up, the fact that our engineer's estimate was almost, 60%, 40% lower than the actual price. The actual price was actually higher, so they're actually making more money off of that item than what we estimated. So we should not have the contractor come back for a change order on that. If it was the opposite, if there were half the price, then yeah, it would be a red flag. We would be saying something may have gotten missed here as far as what they quoted, and we would be concerned at that point. But with this scenario, I don't foresee that happening.
Final tally, the city is saving money, so.
That is correct.
Thank you.
Just a point of clarification. This is the project from North to South Avenue?
The limits on the south end are North Avenue, and the limits on the north end are, I can't remember the local street name, but it's just past Parlier, about 1,000 feet past Parlier Avenue.
Oh, before it gets to the county area there?
Yeah.
Okay.
North to the limits.
Okay. And one more question, and we're planning to put an island down the middle? Is that part of
it? A median island, yes.
I I wasn't here when they, I read about it a lot in the paper and stuff, and I guess they had community, you know, input, and some people didn't kind of take good to it and so forth. But with those, I guess with the islands, I mean, we can't get around, like, people, they're still going to cross, that's what I'm saying. But once, you know, we put those islands in, then people have a tendency to think like they're a little more safe, because I don't have to run all the way across. I just run to the middle, and now I'm going to wait for the traffic. So I haven't seen, you know, the blueprint or the design, but just hoping that there's enough, you know, crosswalks, especially in that from Manning right all the way to Parlor Avenue, because of the number of, well, you have the school and the number of churches, and there's just a lot of traffic there. So,
well, I think one of the reasons for these mediums, and I believe, is that safety, number one. You have the school that was put in place, and you have the church now. And one of the big concerns is with the church, is that when they got a church, they're crossing right in the middle of the street. You know, that's kind of dangerous. So I think when you put this thing and implement it with safety crossings, I think it's going to be a lot better. You know.
So will that have a side? Will that have a crosswalk like what Mr. Soleno's referring to right there, the church?
Yes, it will. As a matter of fact,
a major pedestrian.
Yes, as a matter of fact, a couple of meetings ago here, we did present it to you, a traffic safety report that approved the painted crosswalk. I believe it was a Ponderosa.
And it's a good question to ask now. Ponderosa. Like, excuse me. I don't know if we plan to have one, but this blinking yellow light to allow the traffic to understand that there's going to be a crosswalk there, especially with the church and school, if kids are going to cross across the street, at least they know that there's a crossway there, and to look out for pedestrians.
We are installing a, as you call it, blinking lights crosswalk at Carep, just in front of the school, Taylor Reed School there, as part of this project.
They'll be the one, is that correct?
Just one crosswalk, yeah, lighted crosswalk.
Any further questions on this item?
I know they made the president. I just want to visualize this. So there's a sidewalk I'm beginning to see on Ponderosa, but that's by the Catholic Church, right?
Yes, that's just pretty north of the Catholic Church.
It's closer to that. So I'm talking about our other church community.
That's down Sycamore area.
Yes. Yeah.
It's the school.
And then
you're talking about the Lutheran Church?
Yes. Lutheran,
yeah. Yeah, we do have a cross painted crosswalk there as well. Can't remember the cross street. Is it Cypress? Yeah, Cypress. We are installing a painted crosswalk there.
So what I'm saying is, when those islands are coming in place, that's not going to impact that, the existing crosswalks that we have right now?
No, because the
Addition of any other,
yeah, all the crossing streets will not, the island will not extend through it. There will be openings on all those crossing streets, so yeah, we should not be impacting crosswalks at intersections.
Okay, I'm just asking the questions because and I know those folks probably came to the meetings and they had a lot of questions of the council then, and
we've met with them.
So forth, but they, you know, the questions are still coming. That's what I'm saying. So it just, I appreciate you explaining it to me. So it just equips me a little bit better to respond to that.
Any further comment? Any public comment? Do I have a motion?
Make a motion.
Motion, just to clarify, there's
two items, A and
B. Two items. Okay. So the motion, if you're going to...
A and B together? Can we do them together?
You can. Just,
okay,
just,
I'll second that.
Just name the items of the resolution,
I make a motion,
please,
to accept A and B.
And then resolution
numbers. Resolution number 2013-031 and 2013-032.
I'll second that.
Okay, call for the question.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Mayor?
Yes. Item number 13, consider the following items A and B for the Manning Avenue Sidewalks Federal Aid Project, number CML 5216030. Items A, adopt resolution 2013-33, awarding a construction contract to Seal Right Paving and Grading, Inc. Item B, adopt resolution 2013-34, amending the 2012-13 adopted budget, increasing appropriations to budget federal share project account, and providing appropriations from a new federal earmark grant and Measure C ADA subprogram fund balance. Again, Mr. Martinez.
Thank you, Mayor.
earning his money.
Yes.
Again, with this item tonight, staff recommends that the City Council adopt resolution number 2013-033, awarding a construction contract for the Manning Avenue sidewalks to the lowest responsible bidder, Seal Right Paving and Grading, in the amount of $406,793. And that Council adopt resolution 2013-034, amending the 2012-2013 adopted budget, adding new funds from the federal earmark grant and from the Measure C ADA subprogram account. With this approval, also, we would authorize City Manager to execute the construction agreement subject to the submittal of the necessary bonds, insurance certificates, and other necessary documents as required by the specs, and would also authorize the necessary budget amendments to fully fund this project. Staff began advertising this project on March 4th for a period of approximately 3.5 weeks. Addendums were issued to address the 10-day wage check for prevailing wages compliance and to answer other miscellaneous bidder questions. Staff opened bids from 9 contractors on March 28, 2013, and read aloud. The bid prices range from $406,793 to $639,229 and change, as compared to the engineer's estimate of $453,216. The favorable bid prices again on this project resulted in approximately $45,000 in savings, or 10% below the estimate. City staff has reviewed and determined the low bidder's proposal is both responsive and responsible for the construction documents, and henceforth we recommend that the City Council award this construction contract to Seal Right Paving and Grading for the amount of $406,793. Now, this project construction cost would be funded from the federal CMAC grant and earmark grants. The local match funding sources would include the Measure C pedestrian/trails and the ADA sub-programs. Those are two different sub-programs from the Measure C funds. Now, it is estimated that the construction cost for the Manning sidewalks, including the construction contract plus contingency and construction engineering expenses, shall not exceed $523,812, with a federal share of approximately $450,000 and a local match of approximately $66,000. Now, to fully fund this project, city staff recommends encumbering $103,640 in federal earmark funds, then $19,000 from the Measure C ADA subprogram. City staff is also recommending that $18,000 of surplus Measure C funds from the Button Willow Ditch project be appropriated to this project as part of a separate council approval, which already happened earlier tonight. And lastly, staff is proposing increasing the budgeted federal share amount by $213,900, which $90,000 consists of federal grant monies awarded to the city's I-Street Traffic Signals Synchronization Project, which has already been defunded as per previous council approval. And the remaining increase for this federal share would match the funding levels available for this project up to the construction phase. With that, I will answer any questions you may have.
Just that question that I noticed in my notes, I had it under 12 instead of 13, but.
Yes.
Because it's going to deplete.
Yeah, so basically with.
There'll be a deficit in.
With this item, we're not only requesting to use what we have remaining on the fund balance for that particular Measure C program, but we're also asking that we allocate the next year's allocation as well to this project, and therefore, once we receive next year's revenues, until then, this account would appear to be in deficit at this point.
So the allocation that we would be getting for fiscal year 13-14,
mm-hmm.
It will replenish it when it comes in.
Yes, okay. It would bring the project back to a neutral balance.
And it'll show, like, just out of curiosity, we'll show a deficit of.
Right now?
Yeah. When we go through these steps, the deficit.
It would be around 12,000. That's what we would get with our next year's allocation.
Any further questions?
Well, the nice thing about these projects is it's going to answer public's questions of when are you going to do certain projects? When are you going to improve certain areas? So this is going to let them know that we are doing something for the city and answer some of the questions that they've had. So that's good.
I know you didn't talk about this project, but I want to ask this question since you're on projects. So this is the Frankwood, and it's going to start this month, later this month.
This is
Frankwood project?
The one you're
talking about?
This is Manning.
No, this is Manning.
But the Frankwood that you talked about.
Both of these projects that are being approved tonight will be started in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay. And then when does the Reed project start?
The Reed Avenue project? Reed Avenue. That one we're still quite a bit away, yes.
Okay.
The bridge is starting soon, though.
That would be nice. Yeah. That would be nice.
Any further comment from the council? Any public comment? Do I have a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Both. And again.
Yeah, items A and B.
A and B. And resolution number 2013-033 and 2012-2013.
2013-034.
There you go. And so that's three of them.
Just for the minutes. For the purposes of the minutes.
That's fine. I'm looking down
yeah.
there.
Yeah. All right. And I'll second that.
All right. Call for the question.
Councilmember Cellino?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mayor Beck?
Yes. Moving on to AB 1234, reports by the city council members on city-related activities and requests for future agenda items. I'm going to start Mr. Rodriguez tonight.
Well, three things that I want to share with the council and the community. One is had the opportunity, because I was invited by a young man that runs one of our youth programs, the NAJA Youth Basketball Program, to go over to the Kiwanis meeting. And he asked me just to, you know, support the program and also share with the Kiwanis some of the contributions that the city had made, you know, on our behalf. This was, I believe, a week ago yesterday. And had the opportunity to meet those folks and talk to those folks and shared with them that the city was helping that particular program out with the partnership that we have with the school district and accommodating the program over at Grant School. And then also the city, you know, capturing his kids or covering the kids with the insurance piece. So the city was, I wanted the Kiwanis folks to know that we were doing some of those things. And he was very fortunate that night because they went ahead and made a contribution. I discussed this with Nicole earlier today that what he's seeking is trying to get doesn't come to be right now, but nonprofit number.
501c3.
Okay, and so this way, you know, they can go out and pursue grants and so forth. But it's an excellent program, and I became familiar with it because my son was connected and helping this young man a couple of years ago. And they take a lot of the kids that at times don't make the teams, say like at the junior high school or at the high school level. But then he also has the little kids too, so it's kind of like tiered and they're building up. So he's done a lot of work. His name is Modesto Torres. So he was fortunate. They went ahead and I think they gave him a $200, $250 check, and then there was a lottery also, and the guy that won it gave him that money. So it came out pretty good. But the other thing I wanted to share with the council was that, and maybe she called you, Russ, but they're scheduled, I believe, this Saturday to do some of the cleanup with the rails to trail. And Modesto, this young man, was also generous enough to tell him, like, well, you know, we'll get our kids, you know, to volunteer. He did text me today, and he said he had some kids that would be showing up. So both of them will be working together, the Kiwanis and also the NAJA. So she wrote me a little note, thanked me to go to the meeting, but most importantly, she wanted me to extend to the council that anything that we would need, you know, them to help us with or so forth, to give them a call. So, you know, they're willing to volunteer. So I thought that was sweet of her. But anyway, I enjoyed meeting those folks and so forth. Also had the opportunity this last Saturday, because my grandson is part of it, with the for the little guys, the baseball, the T program. Yeah. And it was very encouraging. And what I liked about it is that not only are the grandparents there, but of course you have the parents, and then in some cases you have the older siblings, you know, the older brothers and sisters kind of helping with the program. But I was really impressed the way whoever the coordinator is, I didn't get a chance to go up to him and thank him and introduce myself. But he was, you know, between both games and making sure that things were coordinated and running and so forth, because, you know, once they get off the field, they get the next set of four teams playing and so forth. But they you know, they've done a wonderful job structuring that. So I wanted to, and I know he's not here tonight, but I wanted to thank Mr. Joe Glick and his staff for their efforts. It's a good program. I really enjoyed myself, so I'm looking forward to going back this next Saturday, because I play several Saturdays. Then the last thing I want to report to the council is, and I didn't know if she was going to be there. I don't think we violated anything, but both Ms. Bencourt, Anita Bencourt, and myself, we were invited to a water coalition meeting. And again, I talked a little bit about that at our last council meeting. Mario Santoyo, he's the Fryant authority, or assistant manager, I should say. And so he invited us to that meeting. There was a few farmers there. There was some people representing different communities, basically on the west side, Fireball, Mendota, and so forth. They showed us a couple of films, you know, on some of the struggles and some of the challenges that the valley has had when we have a shortage of water, and then people are without work. And so it was very interesting. I had never seen those films, even when I went down to the conference in L.A. a few weeks ago. And so we have, as I was talking to some of the staff, we have a good person. Mario does live here in town, very knowledgeable. And, you know, he keeps talking about this water storage and the water recharge and, you know, how we need to replenish and some of the things that we need to be cognizant of and so forth. But making sure that we have some representation, you know, from every city. Because, you know, people from Follow show up, Sanger, you know, Mendota, Fireball, Orange Cove, and, you know, so really pleased with the fact that he's, you know, he's keeping Reedley in mind too. And I talked to Nicole this afternoon, so, and I know he's done this before, but there's been some changes. There's going to be some challenges as you folks hear the news or read about it, but perhaps we could entertain, you know, the notion or the idea of maybe Mario coming back and giving us, you know, the latest, some of the information and some of the things that he sees coming about. And not only when we're talking about we don't have the capacity to store our water and then consequently, you know, so we can recharge what we use and so forth, because we lose a lot of water and it just goes out because we don't have the capacity, you know, to store it. But also, he's on top of all the latest that's happening at the state level, you know, with those committees and so forth. And like I talked, when I shared with you a few weeks ago, I said, there's, every entity has their interests, you know, I mean, you know, the environmentalists, like I said, you know, they want to make sure that we protect, you know, the environment, the species and so forth. But someone made an interesting remark last Friday. They go like, well, you know, without farmers, you know, if you don't give farmers what they need, you know, you basically, you know, what's the valley going to become? You won't have to be worried about little fish and so forth, because we won't have any produce. People be without jobs and so forth. So there has to be a balancing act. You know, they keep saying that. And then, of course, with the urban people, always L.A. is always interested in how much water is being pumped over there. You know, how much are we going to get to sustain ourselves and so forth. So I'm going to continue to attend those meetings and share with the council, because I think it's vital information. And then hopefully maybe the council would consider bringing Mr. Santoyo back and giving us maybe a 10-minute type of presentation on the latest with that stuff, because I think it's important. And then how it affects, like I said, also the rate user, you know, the people that are always wanting clean water and water to water their lawns and shower and so forth. So all of those things. Maybe I said too much. I said
no. Okay. Water is important. It's important. I just want to share our school clinic at Jefferson School is open now. It's a children's clinic, and they're going to have an kind of like opening little ceremony this Friday at 10. I think it's at 10:30.
Same time as us.
Uh-huh. But it's happening at Jefferson School, so we're really excited about having the clinic there for our kids so close by and available. So, and we should be getting the sidewalk pretty soon, should we have? Okay. That's it.
Okay. Mr. Solano.
Oh, yes. Last council meeting, I asked for information on the trucks. There were kind of concerns to people around the community. So, Chief, thank you for this information, but I would request that if you can give each council member, because I'm sure there would be other people that would ask questions of them, and they have information for that. So that's going to be beneficial. And talk to the concerns that the public has, so we can give them that. And the second thing is that after spending 36 years with Little League and Babe Ruth, I'm back at it with 9 and 10-year-old girls. And that's a kick. Oh, these girls are something. Talk about enthusiastic. They listen to you, and you say, go right, and they go left. But that's great.
Come on.
Enjoy. That's cute. Okay. That's all I have.
Okay. Mary?
I just wanted to segue on to what you were talking about, the water. Really what our state needs is another dam. And I think if you get Mario to come and speak, if he could address that type of issue of how can we need water storage. That's where it has to start. And if we don't have that water storage, it continues to go away.
And I think and the west side, an issue for the League of Cities too.
The west side is down to, I think it's 20% of their allocation, which means 1 in 5 acres is not in production. They cannot put it into production. And that's very critical to our valley. Very critical to our valley, because right now it doesn't affect us directly, but it will come to affect us directly. And our farmers on the east side, and our cities too. So we need to push wherever we can to get another dam built up in the mountains to save that water when we have good years. And that's all that I had. Thank
just
you.
To follow up a little on what Mary is saying is that years ago they tried to push a dam at Rogers Crossing, and you have to tackle the environmentalists. Mm-hmm. That's the big hurdle there. They don't realize what the need is for the valley. Mm-hmm. So that's the big tackle there.
Okay, that's all. On Thursday the 28th of March, I attended the COG meeting. They had the updates on the sustainable community strategies, which is still an issue with some of the individuals up there because of not quite understanding what they're trying to put together over the projects that they're mapping out for over the 20-year period or whatever. That I think it's a 20-year period they're looking at. And so that's still kind of, they're trying to put together different scenarios how they're going to go about doing this, and they're trying to come up with one specific plan, and that'll be coming back to us, I believe, this next time, and see what they're going to come up with. I mentioned this to the city manager, and she said that she would touch bases with me on our latest information regarding that for the next time when we go back up there. So I'll have to be a little bit more, I was a little bit behind on that, so I, and that was my fault, not anyone else's. So also, they had Caltrans updates. Everything's still on queue to go as far as the 180 braided ramps are going to still be completed. I believe they're thinking around November, I think, when that's going to be completed. So maybe the traffic will flow a little better there. And they're going to be starting this summer. And I'm guessing when they say summer, it's probably going to be June is what I'm looking at. Is the 180 is going to be started to Smith Avenue. As they mentioned Smith, so and that's right at Centerville out there. So you might want to be aware of the work that's going to be done out that direction if you're traveling. So that's one of the things. City manager may have a little bit more on this when she gets to her reports. Is that I met with the city manager and Fitzgerald Kelly back on the 29th of March regarding updates on the library project. And I know the city manager met with the head librarian, and so she'll probably have that in her reports also. Also met with the city manager, Superintendent Juan Garza, and Councilman Rodriguez regarding the aquatics program at the high school. And I didn't realize how well that school district has studied that project. They have several different ways of viewing what's going to go on there. If they have to do, they have plan B, plan C if they have to go into for the traffic areas and wall. They're even looking at a wall if they have to go to that to help with that there. So but that's just stuff that they're really looking at, and they have taken their time with that project, and it looks like it's in fact, if Mr. Rodriguez might want to elaborate a little bit on that meeting.
No, it was detailed, a lot more information than what we got when we had the joint.
Yes.
But yeah, I was impressed with, I wasn't aware of that they're going to put that buffer wall to cut down the athletic noise from the aquatics complex as it flows over into the neighborhood. And another thing, you remember this, is when I talked about the lighting, how much lighting is going to spill over to these people, because sometimes you have tournaments or meets that go late into the evening, and I guess their contractor, the company, is the lights really are going to be, what do you say, from the bottom up.
Right, they're looking
how
at
you normally see it from the top.
They've taken that into consideration, so they've did a great job on a study on that project. So it looks like that's going to be getting underway pretty quick too. So. Also on the, I'm trying to think what day that was. It was last Friday, as I can remember. Had an interview on Channel 47 with Mr. Martinez, was at the water tower. And I thought they were just wanting to see if we was completing a project, but I don't know if they was trying to bat the ball out of our park or what they were trying to do out there. So it was kind of a strange and interesting interview that took place out there. They're I guess wondering if we're ever going to get water in the tower, and so that was it was interesting. It was I think you were expecting something a little different too. So
yeah. Got you by surprise. Huh?
Yeah. but anyway. I didn't realize it, but I saw the one blurb on TV about the interview, but there was a second one too. I went online and pulled it back up, and and it was a little bit more in depth than the one that was shown on the 11 o'clock news, so, yeah. Anyway, that's all I have, and then we'll go to number 15, updates and reports by city manager and staff.
Okay, a couple quick things. On Friday, we are having our annual employee appreciation ceremony. Rather than a dinner this year, as you know, we're going to be holding it in the morning at 10. And so we invite all the council members to attend. We have good, hardworking employees who've been here for a number of years who will be getting certificates and awards. Also on Friday, Sanger and Reedley will be having a battle of the city managers at the Sanger Rotary lunch that they're doing. We've been invited to battle each other to talk about whose city is better, and we all know who's going to win that one. So, but you're still invited to attend and Sanger, yeah.
When is that?
Friday at lunch at their community center. So
at their community center.
At their community center. It should be fun. We their city manager has just a lot of energy and passion and loves that community, and your city manager is the same way. So, love our community. Since you did bring up the library meeting, I did, in fact, meet with Laurel Prigney, the Fresno County librarian, who assured me that she is very supportive of the city of Reedley and its need for a new library. Apparently, we are number two on the list for a new library in a different city. I don't know if that's publicized yet. A different city has a much greater need than even we do. But she recognizes how well used our library is, how much we need room. I've assured a couple of the council members here that while there is a rumor out there that the city is going to be building this library or operating, maintaining this library, that is not the case. We've offered to assist in whatever way we can in terms of looking at potential places that this could go, helping the Fresno County librarian find a spot, but we are not in a fiscal position to operate and maintain a library, and not only that, she is not interested in having our assistance in that. She wants to remain an independent entity, and I know there is a rumor out there that the Grange building is going to be the new site of the library. That has not been decided, and in fact, I got the impression there are some concerns that we might not be able to mitigate in terms of a historic building on a rail spur. So just to let you know, we're not moving ahead with the old plan, which was that the city would co-locate there and that there would be a big building inside the building. If it ends up working out that way, great, but at this point, the county librarian is focusing on a different city first, and then looking for hopefully a new building, a spot where she could put a new building here in Reedley. So,
weren't they working on the library that we have over here? By
they did put new carpeting.
They had gutted it all out.
Yeah, they did put new carpeting in recently, so they had to remove everything so that they could put the new carpeting in. And that's a rented facility, and so that was a deal with their landlord. So, just carpeting though, unfortunately, they're busting at the seams. She says in that facility, mm-hmm. So. They would like to find a larger location. And then we have a few staff members with some updates.
Good evening, Council. I just wanted to report back on March 30th, we had a vaccination clinic, was over at the community center. And when we were only expecting about 100 dogs or so to show up, we had over 350 people show up. It seems like once one person showed up, they went back home and told their neighbors, and their neighbors showed up. So our staff was out there from really early in the morning till about 8:30 that evening, dealing with all the owners. Now, we did vaccinate a lot. We did schedule some folks to get the spay and neutering done, and also for some microchipping. However, we do encourage the community just to continue to practice responsible ownership of pets. It's very, very important that they do get them licensed, they do get them vaccinated and spay-neutered if possible, and also microchipped so that if they are lost, we can get them back to them. So, so again, I just want to report back on that.
Good.
Thank you, Chief.
Good evening, Council. I just wanted to report on a couple of items, items of generosity from members of our community.
Last December, the Reedley Fire Auxiliary, which is a nonprofit organization made up of the spouses and friends of Reedley Fire Department members, conducted a fundraiser one evening and generated a little over $2,600, and they proceeded to donate $2,500 of that back to the Reedley Fire Department. And so what they did was they purchased a new gas range and oven for the fire department kitchen. So very nice act of generosity on behalf of the fire auxiliary. And then last week, we had a long time Reedley resident and longtime friend of mine who wishes to remain anonymous come into the fire department and hand me a check for $2,500 to give to the Reedley Firemen's Association to use however we want. So just a couple of nice random acts of kindness from members of our community.
Great. Thank you, Chief.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, in the Community Development Department, we've undertaken a task began about 2 or 3 months ago, and that was to evaluate all of our applications for entitlements. And we've since completed that review. We have shortened up what is now required. Basically, if you need a conditional use permit, take about 8 to 10 pages of lots of information to just kind of walk through the door. We've streamlined that down to one master application, which is one page. But what's really nice about it is it's also available on the web. So an engineer, an architect, a draftsman could now go to the city website, pull down any application that they would need for any kind of project that they would want to do in our city, and simply hit a button and it would print out their application. They could complete it and send it to us. I shouldn't say send it to us quite yet, but they could at least deliver it to us. That's the first step of kind of a two-step process. The next step that we will take will be able to fill in the application online, save it, and then you'd be able to ship it to us, hopefully in a PDF, or have it in a PDF format that you could save. And so we're really pretty excited. It's a huge step, and I know something that the development community is going to really love as we get up and rolling. So just wanted to report that out to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. If I could tie that in, by the way, Forbes released a list this week of the most unfriendly business, unfriendly towards business cities in the nation, and almost all of them are in California because of the regulatory, the processing, the permitting, everything that needs to be done. So what Kevin's talking about here is but a blip on the screen of what a developer has to go through in California to get a business, but nonetheless, it is something that makes their job just that much easier when they come to Reedley to pull a permit or to get an application. To have a single master application is so much easier. So we're doing what we can within the confines of California to make the job easier to get businesses here in Reedley. So, and I do believe that is all for our staff reports.
Well, Kevin enjoyed reading the article in the Chamber of Commerce that you had there, so it's nice.
Thank you. Okay. Next item is going to be 16 and 17, which is a closed session item. Government Code Section 54956.9C, Conference with Legal Counsel over Anticipated Litigation. The next item is Government Code Section 54956.9B3C. Again, it's Conference with Legal Counsel over Anticipated Litigation. Is there any public comment? If not, we're going to go into adjourn and go into closed session.
And we will go into my office so that audience members may stay here if they wish.
Okay.